Deuteronomy chapter 15. At the end of every 7 years, you must make a release. Every creditor will release what he's lent to his neighbor. He must not demand it of his neighbor and his brother, because Yahweh's release has been proclaimed. This is very much the language in Luke's gospel about how the Lord Jesus came to proclaim release to people. And therefore, they were to realize that if you lend something, well, in the seventh year, the person you lent it to is going to keep it. And it would have helped them then to live not in a materialistic way, thinking, I lent this out to you, you've got to give it back to me. Of a foreigner, you may exact it, but whatever of yours is with your brother, you must release. And there is a great sense of peace in living in this sense of release, that I release myself from this need to possess, this need to keep for myself. Howbeit, there shall be no poor among you, for Yahweh will surely bless you in the land, if you diligently listen to the voice of Yahweh your God. For Yahweh your God will bless you as he promised you. And you will lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You will rule over many nations, but they shall not rule over you. This is if they were obedient. So there was to be no poor people if they were obedient. And yet elsewhere we're told that the poor will never cease out of the land. God foresaw that they would not be obedient, and so there would be poverty. And so we read on, if a poor man, one of your brothers, is with you, you must not harden your heart or shut your hand from your poor brother, but you must surely open your hand to him and lend him for his need. So God's law recognized that they were going to fail. You see there God's huge sensitivity that, okay, ideally there's going to be no poor among you. You're going to be obedient, you're going to have wonderful harvests, and you won't have any poor among you. And yet, there's all this legislation about how to deal with poor people. So God is like that with us. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows that we're going to fail. Now, this doesn't mean that we can be sort of blasé about sin, but it does comfort us that God knows what we are like and has made provision for it. And that provision ultimately is in the death of his Son and the wonderful sacrifice of the Lord Jesus to save sinners, which he planned and brought about because he knows how we are and how we would be. So if your brother is poor, you must give him what he needs. But beware that there is not a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is near, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cries to Yahweh against you, and it be sin to you. You must surely give to him. Your heart must not be grieved when you give to him, because for this Yahweh will bless you in all your work, in all that you put your hand to. For the poor will never cease out of the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you must surely open your hand to your brother, to your needy, and to your poor in your land. So again, the emphasis is on the heart. Because God, as I say, knows our frame, remembers that we're dust. He's seen the thoughts of every single human being. And he knows how we think. That, okay, this poor guy comes and says, could you just lend me something? And you think, year of release is coming. If I lend you my donkey, well, seventh year, you can keep it. Nah, not going to help you. No, you must surely give to him, and your heart must not be grieved when you give to him. Again and again, the emphasis is on the heart. As Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. Not to give from a sort of a sense that, I suppose I better. But to give joyfully, to have a joy in having released that which is mine, I give to you. This, of course, is a totally different spirit to that which is in this world, whereby people are fighting for the last penny. The game is all about how much I can get for myself. Whereas to give, leaving yourself minus after you have given, is to be a source of joy. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves for 6 years, in the seventh year you must let him go free. When you let him go free, you must not let him go empty, but give him generously out of your flock, out of your threshing floor, as Yahweh your God has blessed you. And remember that you were a bondservant in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this today. It's simply asking us to be generous and to have a generous spirit and to release people, because you were a bondservant in Egypt. Now, for us, we were also in Egypt, but we left Egypt when we were baptized, which is the equivalent, Paul says, of Israel going through the Red Sea. And let us remember our beginnings, our humble beginnings, perhaps materially, but especially spiritually, that we were nobody, that we were not saved. We were, even if we were brought up by a godly mum and dad, we were still in that sense without God in the world. We were still in Egypt, but we were redeemed. And because God redeemed me, despite all my weakness, therefore I must redeem others and be generous to others as God has been to me. Now, that is a fundamental principle, but it all comes down to remembering your beginnings, to remembering with humility what God did for you. This is what will motivate us to be generous. But if your servant tells you, I won't leave you because he loves you and your family, because he's happy with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. It mustn't seem hard to you when you let him go free from you, for he was worth double the hire of a hireling. He served you 6 years, and Yahweh your God will bless you. So all the time we're being told that God will make things work out all right in the end, if we are generous. And this is something that you can only learn by experience. Well, take it from me, take it from many other people, anyone with some experience of life, that trying to just mass up all your own chips in the game, as it were, no, this is not the way to go. But to give with a joyful heart, God will somehow bless you in the end. All the firstborn males that are born in your herd and flock, you must sanctify to Yahweh. You must do no work with the firstborn, nor shear the firstborn of your flock. You must eat it before Yahweh your God, year by year, in the place which Yahweh shall choose, you and your family. If it has any blemish, is lame or blind, or has any defect, you must not sacrifice it to Yahweh your God. You can eat it within your gates. The unclean and the clean shall eat it alike. Only you must not eat its blood. You shall pour it out on the ground. Now, how many times do we read that? It's because the life is represented by the blood. And we are to pour out our lives to God. This was something they were continually reminded of, and so are we, that my life is not mine. We have no rights. We are sinners, and the wages of sin is death. We deserve only to die. But God has given me life by his grace, and so I am to give it completely and without reserve to him. You might like to think how this should affect us in our daily lives. If life is not mine, but is to be poured out to God, how does that affect what decisions I make about what I study, what career I try to get into, who I marry, how I use my money, what I desire in life? What sort of house I live in, what sort of car I have, all these sort of things are all affected by this principle that I must give my life to God, that life is not mine, but it is his.